Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita. Ron is not with us today.
And I'm Jean Murray.
Collectively, we're the host of Podcast DX. On today's show, we're speaking with Chelsea Peet. Chelsea is a mother of two from Alberta, Canada, born with a rare condition called Sturge-Weber syndrome. She was born with a large port wine stain birthmark on her left side of her face and has glaucoma in her left eye. She has had multiple surgeries, including brain surgery, life-saving brain surgery as a baby. Chelsea is joining us today to talk about Sturge-Weber syndrome, or SWS.
Hi, Chelsea.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for joining the show. Chelsea, I had never heard of Sturge-Weber syndrome before. Could you please tell us what this is?
Of course. Sturge-Weber syndrome is a rare congenital neurological condition. There are few variations to the condition, but most often the birthmark or facial port wine stain is located on the forehead, the eye, both sides of the face sometimes, and the head and brain region. And a lot of times that can actually extend into areas like the ear, the mouth, the throat, ear canal, and even the brain. And what makes it strange or abnormal is the fact that with that brain involvement, with all the extra blood vessels that make up those birthmarks, a lot of times you have more complex things happen, like seizures, epileptic behavior, a lot of calcification in the brain, a lot of times, which can lead to, unfortunately, a lot of times with Sturge-Weber syndrome, if the seizures aren't controlled, death, which is heartbreaking.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry to hear that. And there are three subtypes of SWS. What are the symptoms associated with SWS?
With most of the time, yes, there are the three subtypes. The most common is a visible port wine stain birthmark on the face or head, which unfortunately means with the location over the brain that there's going to be that active seizure behavior.
Okay.
Those usually happen within the first year of life or so. So it's easy to diagnose the children then, which they can then start treatment and have things work better that way. The second is sometimes there is a birthmark, but it doesn't actually pertain or happen around the head space or anywhere that would affect the brain. Sometimes things like glaucoma can happen because it's maybe in the eye region.
Okay.
But it's not as extensive or not as scary. Now, the third can actually be a lot alarming, though. They've actually only just found out about the third variant here the last few years, which is where there is actual brain involvement with a birthmark, but the birthmark lies underneath the skin. There's actually no visible port wine stain or any way to diagnose it properly originally. So a lot of times it can actually go undiagnosed or mistreated as just a general epileptic syndrome, not realizing that there's actually the giant collection of extra blood vessels underneath.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. And have you had any specific testing related to this condition?
With Sturge-Weber syndrome, they've actually only just in the last 5 years or so come out with the proper genetic sequencing and mapping to actually find the proper mutated gene.
Okay.
Back in 85 when I was born, my parents were given the diagnosis when I was just a couple days old based on just my port wine stain.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I began to have seizures as a baby. And so, of course, you go through all the general seizure type tests, you know, the EEGs, the angiograms, the head MRIs and CAT scans. So that kind of thing. But for general sense, there is no actual test.
Okay. Okay.
And that's a lot for an infant
to go through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And for the infant's parents.
Sure. Sure.
I mean, the shock of that.
Yeah.
Chelsea, what do you think is the most common misconception about Sturge-Weber syndrome?
I would have to say there's actually probably two,
okay.
For me anyway, that I've experienced. The first being the minute that someone hears about my diagnosis and they hear the word syndrome, they automatically assume, and I'm sure parents of like Down syndrome children, Mobius syndrome, different syndromes have had this as well, where people automatically assume because of syndrome, I have a lower IQ or brain functioning or capability. And it's heartbreaking because a lot of us with the condition, we graduated college and university and we've got kids and we've done it all. But the minute they hear that syndrome, it just kind of freezes them back and they go, oh, is there anything I can do? And I'm kind of left going, I'm good. But alongside with that, that misconception also is the not understanding the facial differences part, the, you know, oh, she looks so scary. You know, what's wrong with her face? And having to deal with the facial stigmas that are associated with that and having people, you know, just not want to interact with us because we look so mind-blowingly different. It's amazing. It truly is.
It's horrible.
Yes.
It's bullying. Bullying is a horrible human trait. I never understood it.
Well, I always say people are horrible.
Yeah.
People
are terrible. Yeah, we love animals because they love you unconditionally, and we wish that people would do the same.
And to be quite honest, before doing research about this episode, I had no idea that a port wine stain was a collection of dilated blood vessels.
Right.
To be quite honest, I thought it was a pigment discoloration or something of that nature. So that just shows, you know, my lack of knowledge. And Chelsea, how common is Sturge-Weber syndrome?
Well, when it comes to vascular birthmarks, usually that statistic they say is about one to three in every 1,000 are born with a port wine stain or birthmark of some kind. But for Sturge-Weber ourselves, it's about 1 in 50,000. But that being said, unfortunately, statistically, a lot of times, a lot of the children, they go through, and I've had a few angels now return to heaven that have the condition where it's just, there's just too much brain involvement, too much blood flow abnormality, and they end up having a stroke or they end up just seizuring and too much calcification and they die.
Oh, wow. Sorry to hear that. Yes, yes, it is. Chelsea, do you personally know anybody else with Sturge-Weber syndrome, like family or friends? And also, do you belong to any online support groups?
Well, the benefit of it being a genetic mutation is it all happens kind of post cell creation when the blood and skin cells are being formed. So there's really no hereditary piece to that.
Oh, okay.
So thankfully, you know, I've got like my mom has a little birthmark, my brother has a little birthmark, but they're just normal general angel kisses, stork bites, you know, beauty spots. So in general, family, nobody has this. Okay. And for the longest time, like before the internet and stuff, my mom, I felt so bad for her because she felt so alone because there just wasn't the support groups like there are now. I've actually just had a little boy born. He's about 9 now. Nice. He lives about 20 minutes away from me that has been born. And we've connected through social media, which has been great. My little birthmark buddy, I call him.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm able to share with his mom my experiences with different things.
Sure.
Or she's connected with my mom and kind of gone through the mom piece stuff. And it's been great on that aspect. But thankfully, that's where social media, that the upper positive side of social media is, you know, you can connect with those support groups, which I do. I'm actually a global ambassador for the Vascular Birthmark Foundation.
Good job.
As well as I also work with the About Face Canada. I'm part of their constituency committee, and it's working on that social acceptance and connecting with those, you know, people that teens, early 20s, the ones that are just trying to learn about themselves and self-image when they are told they don't fit that cookie cutter mold, and kind of give them my piece and go, I hear you, I understand you, but we're here to make it ourselves and you know, kick butt our own way and make our own adventure. And it's been great.
Right. Thank you.
That's amazing. And yeah, we definitely appreciate all of your patient advocacy. That's fantastic. Chelsea, how have you and your healthcare team chosen to treat your condition?
Well, when it comes to treatment for the port wine stains, you can do laser to remove it. And I did it as a kid. I did it from about the ages of 4 to 6 awake. And unfortunately, that caused me a lot of PTSD. It's extremely painful. It's like an elastic band snapping you and burning you in the face. Mm-hmm. If anybody's had a tattoo removed, they can completely understand that same feeling, except the birthmark is so much more sensitive because of the extra large nerves and blood. Mm-hmm. I went back again, you know, being bullied in my teens, and tried to do it with partial sedation and anesthetic, and went again. Even I was actually going down to Boston to the Sick Children's Hospital, and I did it with them through Shriners funding from the age of 16 to 21. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, with turning 21, I had to stop. And that's kind of where I came to that piece of knowing, you know what, I love me for me, and anybody that's be part of my life, they can love me for how I am. I don't need to look like everyone else to fit in. A lot of self-love and struggle and teaching there, but it came over time. But when it comes to general upkeep for my health, I would say I do get regular MRIs just to keep an eye on my brain, especially after the brain surgery I had as a baby. They do just want to watch the calcification in the spot where I did end up having a partial lobectomy of my occipital lobe. So there's a small piece of brain missing. Yeah. So they just to keep an eye on things.
Wow.
As well as I do have glaucoma in my left eye. So I do see my ophthalmologist regularly. I take an eye drop every day, kind of keep in check with my stress levels and trying to keep myself from not getting too worked up to cause the intraocular pressures to go high. But for the most part, I'm doing incredibly well, considering I know so many out there that do not have it as easy as I had it hard in the beginning, but you know, it's a lot better now.
Okay.
A lot better now.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. You've gone through quite a bit. Starting from when you were a baby. So nowadays, now that you're an adult and you're moving on in the world and you're an ambassador and you're doing all these great things.
And a mother.
Yeah. What do you do for recreation? What do you do for fun?
Well, of course, chasing the four-year-old, that's recreation in itself, as any mom knows. I've actually got two daughters and we've actually just gotten a puppy. So that takes up a fair bit of time.
Yeah.
I love to sing. Music is my therapy.
Nice.
So definitely a lot of that. Spending time outdoors, time out in Mother Nature. We actually live a couple hours away from the Rockies. So I'm in the mountains a lot.
Sure.
Love the mountains.
Great.
You know, just spending time.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Very well balanced.
And it's great to have a singer in the family, and you can sing to the kids and to the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we found that, it can soothe everyone.
Yeah.
Chelsea, what are some of the less obvious parts of your life that have been affected by Sturge-Weber syndrome?
For me, a big one would be I don't drive. One sacrifice to the life-saving brain surgery was with them removing the occipital lobe piece. I don't have peripheral vision in both of my eyes for 50% of my vision. At 16, I got my learners.
Mm-hmm.
My father says that was the most stressed he's ever been in his life, was sitting in the passenger seat while he let me drive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the depth perception like I should. And I mean, our little neon, I'm sure he was just waiting for it to fly over a cliff or something. But that's one piece that's hard. You know, I can't just take the kids, you know, to McDonald's, to the play set. Not that that actually happens right now anyway.
Right.
And another would probably just have to be, you know, the mental health piece that comes along with looking different. Those are the struggles I find with Sturge-Weber. A lot of times people just go, get it removed. And I'm like, been there, done that. I've done the makeup. I've done the covering up.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't take me spending 2 hours covering myself up to make you comfortable.
Right.
And it's, you know, that fun piece of it.
Good advice.
And how has it affected how you have raised your children?
Well, my 4-year-old and my 14-year-old will gladly walk up to anybody that's staring and say, yeah, it's a birthmark, move on. You know, proudest moment I have to say is my daughter was going into grade one and she had a little classmate come up and point when I was there to pick her up and go, what's wrong with your mom's face? And she looks at them and looks at me and looks at them again and goes, my mom has a birthmark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got the problem, not my mom.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of just like, I'm okay. I'm not going to cry. Aww. I'm so proud. You know, her, both my girls are such advocates for facial differences that way that a lot of times, you know, it's the general curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And they happily, proudly are able to talk to anybody about a birthmark. And I love that.
That's wonderful.
Makes me feel like I'm doing the job right.
Right.
For sure. That's really good. Chelsea, besides your children,
leave us right to our next question.
Right. What support have you received during your healthcare journey, and what role have your family and friends served in this journey of yours?
Well, definitely when it comes to healthcare, I grew up in a hospital. Between the brain surgeries, the multiple eye surgeries, the laser treatments, ophthalmology appointments, very early I learned the patience of sitting in a waiting room. You know, it was definitely a different time for me. But having general respect for nurses and doctors and healthcare workers, and I myself work in the healthcare field because I feel so comfortable in a hospital, and it's having those people with their experience and their love given to complete strangers in their time of need that drives me to go to work every weekend. And that's something I carry with me, you know, the memories from back then, even sure. Now. For family, my family has been my definite rock between my husband and my two girls, but especially my mom. My mom is my best friend. I can think back to, you know, rough day at high school, and I could just come home, crawl in her arms and cry. And, you know, she would tell me everything's okay. She'd give me the support. She'd cry with me, but we would get through it. You know, she'd look at me and go, okay, you know what? It's been one of those days. We're going to pop in a movie. We're going to cry. We're going to eat some ice cream. We're going to get through this. And I felt like a regular teen.
Mm-hmm.
Her and my grandmother, my Nana, was actually the one who taught me how to sing. She herself sings. And it was through her music and love of music that it was like a therapy for me, because that was another piece. I would come home from a horrible middle school bullying day, and I would walk through the door, look at my mom, go, I'm turning on my music. She knew that was just to leave me alone for a couple hours. And the poor household, they'd have me singing horrible rock songs or country or whatever I felt like that day for a couple hours till I was hoarse, but I got out all my frustrations, all my stress, all my feelings of unlove or unacceptance. And I'd walk upstairs and get the hugs and the support. And I knew, you know, it didn't matter how horrible my day was, I would go home to support. And it was a blessing.
That's wonderful.
Definite blessing.
Yeah. And what advice do you have for someone whose child was recently diagnosed with Sturge-Weber syndrome? And what is the best advice that you yourself have gotten?
The best advice I can give to a new parent is don't be scared. I know it sounds horrible. The medical team, you know, they are throwing 27 large words at you that you yourself are going, what? You know, they're warning you about things like seizures and what to look for. And you feel so overwhelmed and so lost. I know that was one thing with my mom. She said it was more just having all this stuff thrown at her before Dr. Google. She didn't have the opportunity to look any of this up.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely when it comes to a Sturge-Weber diagnosis is if your medical team is not advising you, to do so, but it would be to follow up with a pediatric neurologist, plan the MRIs once they're big enough. You want to get that mapping of the brain. You want to make sure that there aren't any strange abnormalities or anything that's going to come up out of the blue, especially with seizures or risk of blood clots. We are at a higher risk of strokes, that kind of thing, just because of all of the blood flow in our heads.
Okay.
Not scary. I'm turning 36 in May. It's proof. It can be doctored out and you live a great happy life. We are as normal as everyone else. We just have to have a little bit precursor protection.
Sure.
The best advice for me would be, I was told once, the hardest battle you will ever fight is learning to love yourself. And for myself, I know that was a definite battle over the years, you know, the teen years, the young adult, feeling like I was never going to be able to have anything any other princess or pretty girl would get. It was learning to love myself so that I could love others. And to this day, I still, you know, there are days, you know, you don't want to get out of bed. You want to not deal with the darkness around us, but it's, you know, getting up, taking that sip of coffee, the cup of coffee, and reassessing and reminding yourself what a gift you are and taking it a step at a time. It's all you can do.
That's sure. Good advice. Sure. Thank you. Excellent advice.
And Chelsea, what additional tips, hints, or advice do you have for someone who has been diagnosed with Sturge-Weber syndrome? Although you've given us a plethora of them already.
My
personal advice would be, don't ever feel like you have to be pressured to go into the laser treatments. I know my mom, she says there were times she felt pressured. She wanted, she was told I needed to get this birthmark removed. It is painful, but there are plenty of places that do offer it under general anesthetic or partial sedation, or, you know, if the numbing creams happen to work for you, that's awesome. But I myself, they didn't work at all. The birthmark is way too deep for that. This isn't a small little tattoo. This is severe, thick blood vessels. But do it for you. If you want to go through that pain and the aftercare and the struggle of dealing with all of that, it should be for you, because you yourself just, you need that. It should never be because your doctor thinks it's best or your mom wants you to look normal. It's because that's what you want.
Right. Thank you.
Right. And you are normal. It's your version of normal. And hopefully we can all be more accepting, you know, and that we're in approaching exactly. a more accepting time.
Hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
Chelsea, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. How can our listeners learn more about your advocacy work and Sturge-Weber syndrome?
Well, I am on probably every social media platform in existence. Okay. I have Facebook. I'm a part of the Vascular Birthmark Foundation's group as an ambassador. Okay. About Face Canada, if you live in Canada, they're a great organization that I work with as well. I just recently, thanks to my daughter, suggested that I join TikTok. So I'm even on TikTok now.
We got to get on TikTok.
Instagram, you name it. Yeah, anything social media, reach out. I love the support and I love supporting others. So please.
So they just look up Chelsea Pete?
Yes.
Okay. And we'll have links for that as well on our webpage for this episode.
Yes, for sure. Well, Chelsea, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. And if our listeners have any comments or questions related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, on our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
Yeah, thank you, Chelsea. It was a real pleasure to speak with you. And thank you for all that you do in the medical field. We appreciate you being on the front lines.
Thank you so much.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new health regime, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.
Till next week.